Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Dear friends, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are so glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. And some of the ways that you can learn more about how we are church together is through your bulletin and also the many announcements this morning. If you have any questions about any of that, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. So we do have quite a few announcements. I have two and then have quite a few folks. First, from Al Waugh, St. Joseph's, St. Joseph's, St. Joseph's is next weekend, and we are in great need of food and volunteers, both to cook and serve on Saturday. Cooking is on Friday. The sign-up sheet is on the kiosk. Please give of your time and resources generously. Also, if anyone is looking about how to grow in the life of this congregation and seeking to perhaps become a member here at GPC, today, following worship in the adult lounge, we'll be doing just an informal Q&A. So anyone who has some questions and wants some more information, you can meet me down in the adult lounge. All right, Barb, go ahead.
Good morning, ladies. Sorry, men. On Saturday, April 23rd, we're having a wonderful women's retreat at the Colgate Rochester Divinity School. Today is the last day to sign up. I'm sure we'll get a few people wanting to still sign up. There's a sign up in the kiosk. It's $30 a person. Next week, I'd like to get everybody's money so I can have Tracy do a check for us. The check is $30 payable to Gates Presbyterian Church. Or, of course, you can give me cash if you have that. Thanks.
All right, Beth.
Good morning, everyone. The Junior High Youth Group is having a fundraiser. I was informed I have to demo this with Flourish, so
woohoo!
There it is. These are our shirts that we actually wear for the Junior High, and we are selling them in a deep purple color for the congregation. I will be down in the fellowship hall to take orders if you're interested in ordering.
Thank you. Bonnie.
Yesterday afternoon, June Hungerford called. She said she is doing better. She had a fall, and she's doing better, and she wants to start the Lunch Bunch Craft Group. So we will start it on this coming Tuesday, April 12th, 10 to 2.
Thank you. And Bonnie, do you all meet down in the Fellowship Hall?
Sure.
All right, so 10 to 2 in the Fellowship Hall. Thank you. Peter.
Just one final call for the spiritual journey that we're taking. It'll be at the YMCA on Elm Grove Road at 7 o'clock this Wednesday the 13th. And it's Reverend Dr. Rebecca Letterman will be talking to us about spirituality, helping us form a definition, helping us understand how we get it, and how we grow it. Our tickets will be on sale in the Fellowship Hall. Thanks.
Thank you. And just so folks know, we are suspending our book discussion Wednesday night Bible study group so that folks have a chance to attend the Spiritual Journey event at the Y. So if you end up here at 6:30 on Wednesday and no one's here, well, just drive a couple blocks and go hang out at the Y with everyone. A lot going on in Fellowship Hall and signing up at the kiosk. What a great way to serve God. And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Thank you.
please stand if you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. Brothers and sisters, if you lift your net and it is empty, come here. If you open your eyes but do not recognize the Holy One, come here. If your life is filled with mourning, come here.
Christ is leading a dance of joy.
Come here, sisters and brothers,
to give blessing and honor and glory to God.
Please join with me in the prayer of confession. Risen Lord, we remember the disciples could not succeed in fishing until you showed them how to cast their nets into your abundance. In our day, we too often treat this world with arrogant self-righteousness as though it is our exclusive domain. We fail to remember that we are stewards and not owners of your creation. Forgive us. Teach us again that you have placed in us an echo network of relationships. Lead us to tend the gift of your creation that we may feed the whole world community today and our children tomorrow. And now let's offer our silent prayers of confession. God's love for us is ever sure, given in mercy. Gratefully, thanks be to God.
The children come forward, please.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Mrs. Molina, and this is my daughter, Audrey. We are going to be talking a little bit about our lesson for today, which is based on the story of Jesus appearing to his disciples on the beach, overflowing their nets with fish and serving them breakfast. So, where does Jesus show up in your lives? How about, where are you right now? Yes, church. What about when you're eating dinner? Do you say grace when you eat before you eat dinner? No? Sometimes. Okay, very good. Excellent. So, when does Jesus show up in your lives? At church, yes. How about when you have certain feelings, maybe? When you're sad, yes. When you're sad. When you're mad. How about when you're happy? Yeah? So what does Jesus do when he shows up in your life? Does he come in and set off a firecracker and go, I'm here! Probably not, huh? Or knock on the door, hello, I'm Jesus, I'd like to help you today. No? So how does he show up? In your heart, yes. Yes. And kind of quietly, right? Just quietly shows up and jumps in and he's in your life. Why does he show up? Why does Jesus show up in your life? To help you, yes. 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 Because he loves you? Yeah. All right. How about we have a prayer? I absolutely love cookies too, and I think Jesus is in a little bit of those cookies as well. I love frosting too. I love sweets. A little too much, probably. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for Jesus and his love. Our hearts are happy when he visits us. Amen. We have some fish stickers for you, so come on up and get a sticker before you go back.
The Old Testament reading today is from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may come through the night, but joy comes with the morning. When I was prosperous, Lord, nothing can stop me now. Your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me, and I was shattered. I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die, if I sink into the grave? Can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You've taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
Our second reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat. You will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only 100 yards off. And when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Last weekend, I was driving back from a short trip to Baltimore, and I watched with envy the anglers casting from the side of their boats onto the Susquehanna River. I didn't remember seeing so many of them in the river on the trip down, and then a bait and tackle shop displayed a sign that cleared up the mystery. In case you didn't know, April 2nd is the regional trout opener in Pennsylvania. I watched, best I could since I was driving, the sun glistening off the calm river, the reflections of the forsythia and magnolia reminded me that maybe one day spring would find its way up north. I also imagined myself sitting on a boat, fishing pole in hand, and of course decked out in some snappy khaki vest, right, with the assortment of lures and whatnot, tucked safely and strategically into the pockets. I have these kind of daydreams. And this ride home sparked in me this familiar urge to go fishing. And I've mentioned this to Matt a number of times, commenting on how fun it would be for he and I to take up fishing together. We wouldn't need to go far. I hear Owatka Creek has really good fishing. And I imagine us sitting on a beautiful summer day on the bank of the creek while the girls set off on some technology-free forest adventure. Remember, I said this was a daydream. You know the best time for fishing is early in the morning, right? Because otherwise we won't be able to catch anything. Matt's voice of reason breaks through my memory-making daydream moment. That's like 5:30 in the morning in the summer, Melissa. You're getting up at 5:30 in the morning on your day off. Well, I mean, I know he's right, but the nostalgia just takes over my brain. Because what fishing does for me, this daydream of fishing, it helps me remember this childhood memory that I have of fishing expeditions with my grandmother. She was the angler of the family and loved taking her grandchildren to the water with a styrofoam cooler full of worms in one hand and the fishing pole in the other. And there was this really beautiful, calm inland lake that she would take us to that was my favorite. I only had to drop my line in from the dock for just a few moments before a sunfish or bluegill, no bigger than the child-sized palm I had, would jump onto the hook. And my grandmother would get all excited and she'd congratulate me and then explain how the fish was too small to keep. And then that cool, slippery fish would swim from my hand back to find his friends. And so with a fresh worm on the hook, she wouldn't fish with us unless we could put our own worm on the hook. And within a few moments, another fish would find its lunch. I can just remember wanting to spend all day there, reeling in the catch, feeling the warm sun on my face, the cool water on my toes, and seeing my grandmother's face as the joy bubbled up over and over again when we caught something. Later, we would take those fish, the ones that were large enough to be worth the effort to descale, and fry them up for lunch. To this day, the best fish I've ever eaten. You see, my desire to go fishing has never really been about the practical matters of calculating the most effective time to go fishing, or how many fish I might even catch. For me, fishing is about connecting to something that really can't be explained, to a time in life, to a physical place in God's creation, to a relationship with my grandmother, centered all on these memories I have of fishing as a child. And I can't help but wonder this morning in our gospel lesson if Peter's urge to head out to the open sea with net in hand may have also transcended these practical realities of needing to catch actual fish. Maybe there was something that he couldn't quite explain about why he wanted to go out onto the sea that night. You see, chronologically, we are a few weeks separated now from the beautiful 70-degree day of Easter. But for Peter and the disciples in the Gospel of John this morning, only about a week or so has passed since they first heard and saw Jesus alive again. But I imagine that the memories, the brutal murder of Peter's friend and teacher, were still fresh in his heart. And the shame that he felt of denying Jesus churned inside of him. And then the improbability of the resurrection was still more than any of those disciples' reasonability could handle. So Peter may just not have cared at all that it was the middle of the night when they set out on the boat, and that maybe he wasn't going to catch anything. Perhaps Peter's declaration, "I'm going fishing," was a desire to return to a life that he knew, that was simple and humble as a fisherman, all before this business of Jesus calling to him out of the boat to come follow him first happened. Perhaps fishing is Peter's attempt to return to the physical place. There, the gospel writer situates us, right there in the exact place where there was this great perceived scarcity. Remember the thousands and thousands of people gathered on that seaside and those disciples with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, and how Jesus revealed God's abundance? Perhaps Peter just wanted to be out on the water. Water that he remembered, that Jesus calmed, that Jesus walked on. And it's there that Jesus issued the reassurance, "Do not be afraid." Did Peter want to hear those words again? Any one of these motives are a possibility. And they each invite us deeper into Peter's desire to really remember Jesus. And this story also invites us to experience the reality of the resurrection as Makoto Fujimura. If you see right there in your bulletin the meditation for today, that comes from the book that some of us are reading together, about the questions of Jesus. And he offers that this story invites us to experience the reality of the resurrection, to be embedded in the abundant physical reality. And for Peter to truly experience the good news of the resurrection, he needed to connect with the physical place in creation, the water, to his memories with the word became flesh reality of God's love in his life. So Peter says, "I'm going fishing," and 6 of his disciples climb in the boat with him. The others may have had a great voice of reason in their own minds saying, "Well, fishing doesn't really happen in the middle of the night. You got to get up early to do that. This isn't worth the effort." Not really understanding what it was that Peter needed. And after this long, unsuccessful evening, the story continues. That glow of the morning sunrise penetrated the darkness of the night. If you close your eyes, you can just imagine that figure on the beach who knows their disappointment, their emptiness, their longing. He calls out to them the question he already knows the answer to. "Children, do you have any fish?" "No." "Try again." And then their nets are filled beyond measure. And the beloved disciple proclaims, much the same way that Thomas did upon seeing Jesus' wounds, The same way the disciples did when Jesus first stood among them, behind those locked doors. They're the same words of Mary Magdalene to the disciples after her encounter with him at the empty tomb. It is the Lord. And this awakened memory carries Peter out of the boat, and thankfully with a few clothes on, into the water and to the beach. And they all rush to greet him, filled once again with this joy and abundance that they knew in their lives. And Jesus says very simply, "Come and have breakfast." There they are, gathered around the campfire, breaking bread together, eating the fish that he helped them catch. And they're afraid to ask how this was all possible. They wanted so much to be in the moment again. For they knew in that moment, in that memory, in that physical place on the beach by the water, it was the Lord. He is risen. He is risen indeed. There he is, Jesus, embedded in the abundant physical reality of fish and bread. There he is, showing up in the ordinary, the mundane, the back to life as usual at the edge of the lake. There he is, standing where they all once believed that it wasn't enough, that they weren't enough. He shows up again to show them God's abundance. There he is. He's supposed to be dead, but for the third time, he offers comfort and reassurance and the challenge of his ongoing presence at this breakfast meal, fish, bread. And who knows, there may have been a few cookies thrown in there. I love it. Some cookies with frosting. Because, friends, these events at the lakeshore connect the disciples to more than just the memories. The fishing, the lake, the fish, everything connects them to the truth of the resurrection in the here and now, in their everyday concrete lives. That the resurrection is not something that can be explained even with long theological dissertations. It's something that's lived every day in our lives, in our memories, in our bodies. For the disciples and for us, the Easter message about the days after become especially important. Because these are the days when we connect the stories of our lives of faith and connect them to the ways in which we will all move forward with Jesus. Poetry often captures the emotions much better than lengthy explanations will ever do. So I close this morning's sermon with the words of the poet Wendell Berry. It's a whimsical poem, a lengthy one. I'll just read the end. The poem is called Manifest, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front. It's an insightful take connecting to memories and place in God's creation and relationships to experience the resurrection. So, friends, every day, do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who doesn't deserve it. Go with your love to the fields. Lie down in the shade. Rest your head in her lap. Swear allegiance to what is nighest in your thoughts. As soon as the generals and the politicos can predict the motions of your mind, lose it. leave it as a sign to mark the false trail, the way you didn't go. Be like the fox who makes more tracks necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. Today, tomorrow, in all your days, friends, we are called, we are invited, we are challenged with our very lives and our very beings to go out into the world and practice resurrection. Feel the fish in your hands. Eat breakfast with friends. Remember and live. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. A new hymn. You all did well. Good job. Thank you, Roy, for the trumpet and for our well-planted choir members. That was very helpful. Thank you all. As we continue our time of worship, we gather together our prayers of joy and our prayers of concern. If you would like to share one aloud, you are invited to do so. Raise your hand so an usher can see, and if you are comfortable and able, please stand, tell us who you are, and use the microphone so we can share the prayer together.
Lauren Henderberg, prayers for my sister and her husband. They did have their baby on April 2nd, baby Jonah. So we're happy that he's here. He was a little late, and he's a big boy, so we're excited.
Congratulations. Blessings on the birth of baby Jonah.
Kate Stanford, prayers for some neighbors of mine for the past year. They've gone through the adoption process to adopt a little girl, and they were thrilled and excited about bringing her home, only to have at the last legal document signing the parents change their mind. So they have lost their child and are really upset. They watched her grow up from infancy. She's a year old now, so they're really struggling with that.
Prayers for the family.
Dottie Madal, some of you were praying for my sister this past week. We found out she has a huge ovarian cyst, and she will have surgery tomorrow morning at 8:30. It may or may not be cancer, so of course we're praying it's not cancer. Also, my mother continues her journey toward the Lord, and it's taking forever, which we're trying to learn what this lesson is for Jean and I, because this is amazing. We thought she would be dead by Christmas. But she is just lying there, being taken care of, very quiet, eyes closed, and that's all I can say.
In life and in death, we belong to God. Amen.
Hi, I'm Keith Morgan, and I'd like to ask for prayers for Marge Westfall, who's had several cancer surgeries on her leg, and she's now, her leg has become infected. But she is still at home, and she is bored to tears. She would be happy to have visitors if you were to call her first.
Okay. So continued prayers for Marge Westfall, who's had a few surgeries, but she is over at Unity in the Cottages, I believe. And if anyone would like to go visit her, please do give the office a call. They'll give her number. She would love to see any of you.
Good morning. I guess we'll call it a joy, but tomorrow is Frona's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Frona. Woohoo!
Whit Beckett, I have a joy. I didn't get to share it with you last Sunday, but it's never too late, right?
Never.
A week ago yesterday was Bonnie and my 50th wedding anniversary, and we were absolutely surprised with the party that our two daughters threw for us here at church on the 2nd. Relatives from Texas and Virginia, and all over the place, and friends from church, and it was just an absolute joy.
Wonderful, and congratulations.
Polly Moore, I would just like to ask for prayers for Bill Wallins, who continues to have health problems, and they would very much appreciate your prayers.
Continued prayers for Bill Wallins and also Barb and their entire family.
Linda Beattie, I'd like to ask for prayers for my cousin, Jill Buff Rosati. She's Freddie's daughter, if you remember Freddie Buff. She lost her husband very suddenly. He was on a business trip and had a massive heart attack. I'm having lunch with her and her sister and my sister this afternoon, and I'm looking forward to seeing her, but please, prayers for them and their family.
Many prayers for them.
Tom Ward, I'd like to ask for prayers for our Guatemala Partners Group. We're going to be presenting for a grant again on Wednesday night that would help support the trip that we have planned for our Mayan visitors coming in June. And so if you could give us your prayers for Wednesday night, we hope for a favorable outcome.
Tess McHale. Prayers for my niece, Caitlin. She's been having some health issues. They've been doing testing and have not found anything conclusive yet, but hopefully this week there might be some conclusions so we can move forward and treat whatever this is that's going on.
Prayers for Caitlin. I'm not seeing any other hands. Oh, okay, someone is. There we go.
It's
why we've got three sets of eyes going. Nope. Daniel, move.
Thank you. I'd like prayers for my father, Bill Henderson. He's going to be going to Unity tomorrow morning for a complete hip replacement. So prayers for him, please.
For your dad, definitely. Okay. And prayers, I'm not seeing any other hands this time. From our children, prayers for a grandpa getting hip replaced tomorrow. Always on our children's minds as well. Prayers of joy for singing a solo in church next week. Prayers for Zach, who is feeling better. For birthday gifts and softball. Yay. Prayers of joy for clean Legos, a new doll, Alice in Wonderland, cake and movies and baseball. And prayers of concern for ouchies and cuts. Most definitely. Let us continue our time of prayer. Holy Risen One, signs of your resurrection surprise us with their ordinary sacred. We go about our lives not knowing how to live in the new life you promise. What we know to do, as the disciples go back to fishing, we get back to business. All the while, in the back of our minds and hearts, we grieve your absence. We miss your presence. And just as we were starting to think you were a dream, you show up as ordinary, sacred, around meal tables, offering gifts of kindness to a stranger, simple moments with friends, in daffodils that will even bloom in the snow. Help us to remember that everything is different in the living of our lives because of you. And as we celebrate new life, we are mindful of the places and peoples and creatures and creation who suffer. We offer in prayer war-torn countries, refugee children who pick scraps of bread off the street to eat, for the waters that are polluted, your land, that is the location of so much conflict. We also hold in prayer those who are dealing with distress, caring for loved ones. We pray for those whose bodies are racked with disease and illness. And we pause for a moment in the silence to connect to those prayers in our hearts, God, that we don't have the voice to name. Now, God, turn our mourning into dancing so that we can praise you and see all of this world in the way that you see it. Clear our vision so we can love with the love you give so freely to each and every one of us. In the name of the risen Lord, we offer the prayer he taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We give because God has freely given to each of us. We give because we believe in the resurrection, that what we do, what we say, how we live can make a difference in this world. Let us receive our morning offering.
Dear Lord, help us always to remember that all that we have, all that we own, is not of our own doing, but is from your gracious hand. We ask you to bless these gifts that we bring to you, to send them out into the world, casting them out across the sea, to do the will, your will in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we go from this place, often a mess and mangled bodies, but transformed to live new life in Christ's resurrection, go. Go with the new life that God has promised in God's grace, in the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to get back up. Do it again. Alleluia. Amen. Thank you.